Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're just getting started with a series entitled Rest in Christ. I know you'll be blessed because we need that rest in our lives today. Our topic today, restless and rebellious. You say, Derek, that sounds negative. We'll learn some lessons from God's people through the ages that will help us realize how much we need rest in Christ. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School and welcome to the team. Amen. This is going to be a great series, isn't it?
Yes.
And you'll notice if you're watching, we've just got five. We call that our Gideon's Band, but because of the restrictions. But we're excited that we're adding some remote team members. We've got Shana from Maine. Shana, it's great to have you with us for Hope Sabbath School today. We have Addison from British Columbia and Canada. Addison, we're glad you're with us. And we've got Puya all the way from Hawaii. Puya, I'm glad to have you with us too. And it's so exciting to see how in this difficult time, God is working all things for good. Amen?
Amen.
And we're just really excited that we can study the Word of God together today. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. We're in more than 200 countries, and the Spirit of God is changing lives. And I use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah. Here is Gitu writing from Papua New Guinea. Gitu writes and says, in my busy work schedule, now that's the 24/7, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday lunch hour is the appointed time for me to study with Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Thursday lunch. I would like to thank you for the lesson outline. That's the one we use in our study, which is an excellent document for me to follow along. I always look forward to Thursday lunch as I learn many new things when I study the Bible with you. Please continue what you're doing. I pray God will bless you as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Gitu, thanks for writing to us from Papua New Guinea. Here's a note from Ezra in the Philippines. Ezra writes and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School team.
Hello.
And a wave. I'm wonderfully blessed by Jesus every time I watch Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
You are mighty instruments helping us to understand the Bible and its application to life. Jesus is truly wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you. May God continue to bless you as you wait with me for his second coming. Greetings from the Philippines. Hope Sabbath School has helped us understand the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thanks, Ezra, for writing to us from the Philippines. Beautiful. Here is a note from a donor in Washington State in the U.S. of A. who said, no name, we don't give a name, but a fellow Adventist from Washington, USA, writes and says, during the pandemic, we've not been attending our local church very often because of the restrictions placed by our local state. But we've been watching Hope Sabbath School.
Yes. Amen.
Every Friday evening, Amen. We found it to be a blessing and an encouragement in our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the discussions which each person presents, backed up by what the Bible teaches. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
May our loving Amen. God continue to bless the group as disciples for Jesus. And we're sending a donation to help with the expenses to broadcast your program to the world, and a donation of $100
Amen.
To help Hope Sabbath School. Thank you to our donor from Washington State in the United States. Thank you to each one of our donors. You can always go to hopetv.org/donate and partner with us in this global ministry. Alfian writes from Indonesia and says, thank you so much. God bless the Hope Sabbath School team. I am a church pastor in Indonesia. I had enjoyed and grown faithfully even my method of teaching by watching Hope Sabbath School.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Even though my English is poor, but the Holy Spirit helps me to understand your English.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Alfian, thank you for writing all the way from Indonesia.
Wow.
We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. One last note from George and his wife, Linda. They're from India, but they're in the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Greetings, they write. My wife and I are from India, working in the United Arab Emirates for the last 12 years. It's been a great blessing ever since we found Hope Sabbath School. Mm-hmm. We download the study material and even use it in our Sabbath School discussions. We send the link of Hope Sabbath School to anyone interested in learning the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. God bless your ministry. Well, George and Linda, thanks for writing from the United Arab Emirates. Isn't that amazing to see?
Mm-hmm.
Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. Well, our theme song for this series is taken from Matthew chapter 11. The words of Jesus, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, mm-hmm. and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Let's sing it together. Well, before we pray, I just want to speak to our Hope Sabbath School family. If you enjoyed that song from Matthew 11, 28 to 30, we would like to not only send you a copy, but 11 other scripture songs. It's a special gift during this series on rest in Christ. And all you have to do to get those 12 scripture songs is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you'll find a button that says Get Free Gift. If you push that button, Get Free Gift, you'll get a link to be able to download not only this theme song, but 11 other beautiful scripture songs so you can hide God's Word in your heart. I hope you take advantage of that gift from Hope Sabbath School. Let's pray together now. Father in heaven, we're thankful for that beautiful Word of Jesus. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. And as we study today about restless and rebellious, even though it's a challenging topic, may we look beyond these difficult lessons and see the rest in Christ that will bless our souls. Be with each Hope Sabbath School member around the world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start in Numbers chapter 11. And I'm just so excited each one of us can be here. I'm going to ask Shana, who's up there in Maine, one of our remote team members. Shana, could you begin our study today reading from Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the King James Version, Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp.
Now, that's a very troubling verse. By the way, that's what we need to read, the whole counsel of God, because we read about a God who loves with an immeasurable and unfailing love. Mm-hmm. What had God done for this people, and why were they so restless and complaining? Well, let's talk about what he'd done for them first. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yes, Brittany.
Well, he delivered them from slavery in Egypt by a mighty, miraculous, several plagues that were brought and signs. And then he brought them through the Red Sea and destroyed their enemies. And then he's even been providing food for them on a daily basis, showing them he's taking care of everything. He even provided a pillar of cloud to shelter them from the sun in the day and a pillar of fire at night so they could find their way. So he's provided in every way for their every need.
Yeah. So why are they complaining? Sabina, what do you think?
They are complaining because they don't have the same type of food that they used to have in Egypt, for instance.
So maybe that Puya, all the way there in Hawaii, maybe that's just a symptom of a deeper problem. Help us out with that, Puya. Mm-hmm. Why are they complaining, even though, like Brittany said, they've got so much?
Right. I believe this is human nature. When we have problems, many problems in our lives, we bottle up our problems and emotion deep inside. And when we are faced with a situation that we're sensitive about, that would serve as a detonator of the underlying deeper issue. And here in the case of the Israelites, it seemed that the deeper underlying issue is they are rebelling against God's leading, God's leading in their lives. And so this complaint about the food and them wanting to eat meat is just a symptom of the deeper underlying issue. Because if we look back the past, in their past, it seemed that they are very selective in their memory, because even though they could have eaten meat in Egypt, but they were suffering. So they had a selective memory in that they only remember some portions of probably a few portions of their experience in Egypt and compared them to where God is leading them.
Sure. And I think it's a good point. Just think of it even in a family. If a spouse is yelling at the spouse because the menu for dinner is not right, that's not the real problem, is it? There's a relationship problem.
Yes.
And I think, Puyi, you made a good point. There's a relationship problem here. They're disconnected from God.
Yes.
They're rebelling. Mm-hmm. Sabina, if you could continue reading in verses 2 through 6 of Numbers 11, let's see how the children of Israel react.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now, the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'"
Well, I'm hearing Puya's words talk about a euphoric recall, selective recall. I don't know if they ever ate the melons and the cucumbers. Maybe some of the mixed multitude
did.
Good question. But they were all slaves. Uh-huh. They probably were happy to have anything to eat. Yeah. But there's this rebellious and restless spirit. Now, before we unpack a little more of the restlessness of the children of Israel, Harold, why record a story like that in the Bible? Doesn't it say in I think in Romans 15 that these stories are written for our learning? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why record such a negative, restless attitude here in Numbers 11?
Well, it's to actually remind us of what we can become when we do not depend on God, when we do not rest in God and trust in Him, because God knows that we are sinful, and we need to be reminded that we have a tendency to sin, we have a tendency to rebel, and we see like what the consequences are. But at the same time, we get to see God's mercy. Mm-hmm. Even though we do see something unfortunate, I mean, in the end, we see God's plan. Actually, His goal is to save us.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look, Jason, if you could go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. But you know, that you make a really good point. We look and we say, well, that's how I could act if I'm not connected. Maybe someone's watching Hope Sabbath School as a family and someone's elbowing the person next to them. Like, but actually, don't elbow anybody. Just think about how I could act if I'm not really connected and resting in Christ, right?
Amen.
Jason, what does that text say in Romans 15 and verse 4?
All right, so I'll be reading Romans, the 15th chapter and 4th verse, and the Bible says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
So let's go back to that story and this maybe almost fanciful recall about how good it was before they allowed God to deliver them. Is it possible even today that either ungodly friends or maybe the kingdom of darkness could deceive you into thinking that things were better before you decided to surrender your life to God? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sabina?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very much possible. And I think that even if there is not those bad of a friends, even ourselves, you can catch, you know, especially in a moment in which we are traversing challenges, which is what was happening to them, right? It's okay. They were going through a problem. Yet God was providing enough for that in that moment and promising for them much more than what was already being given. And they were not satisfied with that, with the word of God given to them in that moment. So I think it is possible, Pastor Derek, that we sometimes, especially when we cross valleys in life, that we may forget what God has done for us before or what He's doing in the moment, even if it feels insufficient. But we need to remember that He's enough for us and His grace is enough for us, right?
Mm-hmm. I think if we just take one point, and I'll come to you, Addison, I see your hand raised there in British Columbia, that it's very easy when we disconnect to become restless. We could always find something to complain about. But there's some lessons we've learned from Romans 15 that we could learn. Yes, Addison.
Well, that's a really good point about disconnecting from God. And I just thought of, in this life, in this 24/7 society, it's easy. It's easy for us to take on some type of temporary security, distrust God, and sacrifice the freedom and security that we have in Jesus for something that is superficial, something that we think is more beneficial, especially when we're looking at it with a selective memory.
Thank you for pointing that out. We're going to go to another incident, just the next chapter over in Numbers chapter 12. Where there's some more restlessness. Brittany, if you could read the first three verses for us. This is a troubling picture. Let's see what the Bible records. Numbers 12, verses 1 to 3.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth.
So Shana, what's the problem here? he's just got married to Zipporah, I think her name is, right? She's from Ethiopia. What are Miriam and Aaron talking about?
Well, first of all, she's from another country, so they may have had a problem with her nationality. And I'm sensing some kind of pride in Miriam and Aaron, because they're like, well, didn't God speak to us too? So yeah, there's some sense of pride and I don't know, racism, jealousy, not sure.
You know, we noticed earlier that there may be a kind of a presenting issue, but it's not the deeper problem.
Right.
Unfortunately, it could be. Let's just stay with the surface issue. He married someone who wasn't part of their ethnic group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to respond to that? I mean, we deal with racism today, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was the daughter of Jethro, who was a priest of the Most High God, who gave godly counsel to Moses, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the deeper problem than just being critical about who he married? Gladys?
I think that they had a problem with Moses. You know, sometimes when we criticize this, we want to level the ground with other people. So I think they felt like, oh, Moses is this high up guy, but yet he married this woman, you know, and didn't God speak through us too, kind of like leveling the ground between Moses and themselves. So they wanted to make sure that Moses didn't feel like he was higher or mightier than them.
All right. Yeah. Sabina.
And also having a sense of superiority above other, you know, nations, and in this case, the Ethiopian woman. So it clearly was a lack of humbleness and sense of who they were also in Christ.
You know, when we think about being prejudiced against other nations, I'm thinking even Ethiopia, you find an Ethiopian in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and he's also seeking God. So just having a racist attitude towards someone because they're not from your group, that in itself is a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a deeper issue too. Brittany?
I was just going to say, it reminds me of what happened in heaven originally, where we have Satan, who was Lucifer, and he wasn't content with the position God had given him. He wanted to be God, and he started a rebellion. And we see the same spirit in Moses and Aaron, that they aren't content with the positions God has given them, and they're trying to get the position that God gave to Moses. And we see the same discontentment that leads to rebellion in them.
Well, let's see how the story unfolds and what lessons we might learn from it. If Harold, you could read on for us in Numbers 12, beginning with verse 4 down through verse 10, the Lord responds to this attitude. The presenting issue is kind of a racist attitude, but a deeper attitude of rebellion.
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting.' So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, 'Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?' So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper."
Now, there's so much in that passage, whether you're our remote team members around the different parts of the world, maybe you can be thinking, why is this scripture recorded? You've got some important revelation from the Lord, and then this severe judgment on Miriam. Anybody, what do you think? What's a lesson here? Brittany?
Well, I think the leprosy was just to show what was going on in the heart. We can't see necessarily the sin that's going on in someone's thoughts and in their heart, but God is exposing that and saying, look, what you're harboring in your heart, it's leading to this disease. Sin is causing something greater in you that is going to cause sickness and death if we allow it to run its course.
Addison, you want to add to that?
You know, one plague that has spanned the course of history for nearly 6,000 years is the plague of sin. And here is another illustration of God saying, okay, he's saying jealousy, ambition of this form, it's vice. And he wants to give an example and say, okay, I am going to, there is still mercy in this story because God is long-suffering, but he wants to stop this plague from spreading in their own life.
Mm-hmm. Hui, I saw your hand raised there in Hawaii.
Right. It is also interesting to note that it seemed that Miriam received a harsher punishment than Aaron, and probably could be that Miriam was the instigator of this attack on Moses. And I believe one of the dangers of leaders attacking other leaders is that it could spread quickly among the other members of the group. And so God had to take immediate action.
Mm. Let's see how Aaron responds, because Puya is absolutely right. They don't both get leprosy.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it says Miriam and Aaron complained. Miriam's name is listed first. But let's see, Gladys, in verses 11 and 12 of Numbers chapter 12, how Aaron responds when he sees that his sister has become a leper.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And he cried out to Moses, "Oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin we have so foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby, already decayed at birth."
Mm. Now, it's interesting. He's talking like Moses brought the judgment. Is that correct?
No.
Well, the judgment came from the Lord. But I think the point was well made that the Lord could have struck her down dead.
Yeah.
The leprosy could have lasted her whole life.
Right.
Neither of which is true, right? But there was a very visible reminder of, as you pointed out, Brittany, a sinful or rebellious attitude on the inside.
Yeah.
What can you learn from Aaron's response in pleading with his brother? Anybody? Sabina?
It sounds like he had, despite God's already, speaking to them and already giving that sign in rebuttal, that still he had not understood the matter, what was going on in their hearts. Because in bringing that, as we are saying, back to Moses and punishing Moses, his mindset is that like, oh, it's Moses, the one who is causing all this problem. Moses is the one who took the Ethiopian lady in marriage, and now Moses is the one who is causing us to suffer this way.
Rather than repenting and saying,
exactly,
I've sinned against the Lord. So so he's trying to get help, but he's really not thinking that clearly himself
either, is he?
Mm-mm. Good point. Gladys?
I see it a little bit differently. Like here on the verses that were read before, is it, but not with my servant Moses, he is the one I trust, my version says.
Sure.
So I think that at that moment when Aaron saw what happened to his sister Miriam, he saw Moses like, you are the one who's closer to God, intercede for us. Mm-hmm. Don't take it so personal, that just be, an intercessor for us before God.
Okay, so not that you can solve the problem, but right, that you can, the Lord has said that you talk with him face to face.
Exactly.
And so be an intercessor for us. So we've got a situation here. Moses has a choice to make. He could have the same critical spirit and criticize them back. What could he say?
Oh, you deserve it.
Yeah. You deserve it. You got what you deserve.
Yeah.
Or he can intercede. Yeah. He can pray to God for them. Why is intercession always the best option? Addison, over there in British Columbia, and then Puya. Why is intercession, maybe someone has done something foolish. You say, well, they did something foolish, they deserve it. Why is intercession or praying for them always better than criticizing them?
Well, Jesus set a perfect example of what it means to intercede for others. Even on the cross, he prayed for his enemies and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And so even when we're talking about other people who have disowned us or have done something wrong, we need to lift them up in prayer and allow God to work a miracle in their life, because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm. Quoting from James 5, verse 16, 17, somewhere in there, the prayer of a righteous person. I believe that That's when we pray in Jesus' name, by the way, because mm-hmm. there's nobody righteous, right? Mm-hmm. Except when we come in his mm-hmm. name. But this whole topic of intercession, Puyi, I saw your hand raised there in Hawaii. Why is intercession, praying for someone or for your leaders, always better than criticism?
As someone has stated, that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. So criticism alone, information alone, does not change people's hearts. What changes people's hearts is that when we see kindness, when we see understanding, when we see forgiveness, it actually motivates us to be transformed. So I believe intercession for others is more effective in the long run than criticism, because when we criticize someone or when we are being criticized, our first human response, natural response, is to not accept that criticism. And we tend to isolate ourselves from the people who are criticizing us. And so in the end, until we know that people care or that someone cares about me, do we actually plan to change? And so intercession is always more effective than mere criticism.
I think Jesus, as Addison pointed out, really modeled that, didn't he? Well, mm-hmm. we're going to have mm-hmm. to hold some of the comments as we move on in our study, mm-hmm. because someone might be watching Hope Sabbath School today and say, well, why are you worried about my restlessness? You know, this is just my life. But the problem we're going to discover is that restlessness, which is a symptom of being disconnected from rest in Christ, mm-hmm. restlessness leads to rebellion. Mm-hmm. And rebellion mm-hmm. can be deadly. Yeah. So we're going to look together, mm-hmm. and I'm going to ask Jason if you would read for us Numbers chapter 13. We're moving way in this book of Numbers, and we've seen them complaining about the menu, right? They want some other food, mm-hmm. forgetting all of God's blessings. We see some leaders complaining against other leaders. Mm-hmm. This restless spirit, which is an evidence of not being connected to God, not resting in mm-hmm. God, can lead to rebellion. Read for us Numbers 13, verses 27 to 33.
Yeah, my pleasure. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Numbers, the 13th chapter, 27th verse through the 33rd verse. And the Bible says, "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" Verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Verse 29. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountain, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with them said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Verse 32. "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.'" In verse 33, "There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight."
Now, as you're watching that, there's kind of a crescendo happening. What's happening? It's kind of a strange change of story. What lesson could we learn? What's happening, Brittany?
Well, something that I see happening is that they forgot or they didn't believe the promise that God had given them. Because if we look at the very beginning of the chapter, in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we see that God said, "I'm giving you this land. Mm-hmm. Go spy out the land that I am giving you." Mm-hmm. But now they're saying, "We can't overcome them. They're too great for us." So they've forgotten the one who's giving them the land. They think that they have to do it in their own strength.
Mm-hmm. And it starts out their report starts out saying it's truly a goodly land flowing with milk and honey, and it ends up saying the land devours people.
Yeah.
Something's happened in their brains
exactly.
because of their disconnection from mm-hmm. God. Let's yeah. see how, Puya, let me take your point, and then let's go to chapter 14 and see how this bad report mm-hmm. impacts the rest of the children of Israel. Puya?
Yes, when we are restless at heart, we struggle to walk by faith. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is exactly what we see in the lives of these 10 spies, because they did not rest in God in their heart, mm-hmm. which again is the real cause, the real issue here. It leads to the symptoms of not being able to trust God. So, even when we talk about physical rest, when we don't get enough rest, when we don't have enough sleep, it leads us to making bad choices, bad decisions, bad health lifestyles, which leads to problems and bad judgment in our day-to-day lives. So now if we look at our spiritual lives, how much more do we need to rest in God in order to be able to walk by faith and trust God when things are difficult? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely so. Yeah. Shana, if you could keep reading for us in chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, it's almost like in their disconnection, their restlessness has turned to rebellion, mm-hmm. that they're now actually being used to turn the whole people mm-hmm. away from God. How yeah. does the Bible read in Numbers 14, mm-hmm. 1 to 4?
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt.
Mm. Mm. They're going back to slavery.
Basically.
Yeah, they've been set free and they're saying, let's go back to slavery. How did Moses and Aaron respond? Mm. Do you know?
Because they
fall down. Fell on their faces before.
They fell down on their faces. Yeah. Now, are they falling down to worship these people who are saying, let's go back?
Not at all.
They're falling down before the Lord and saying, Lord, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And now a young man speaks up. Gladys, if you could read, I'll call him young, relatively young compared to Moses, in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9.
Verses 6 through 9. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explore is a wonderful land. And if the land, the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them.
I just want to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the next verse
Amen.
Says,
Amen.
And the people repented
no.
and entered in. We would hope, but yes. Brittany, you're shaking your head. Mm. Does it startle you? Would you read verse 10 of Numbers 14? Does it startle you that restlessness can lead to rebellion, can even lead to violence?
Yes.
No wonder God wants to give us rest for our souls, rest in Christ. Yeah. We could end up going down a very destructive path. Mm-hmm. How did the children of Israel respond to the testimony of Joshua and Caleb?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 10 says, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. Here's the grace of God in action. Why didn't Joshua and Caleb die that day.
God intervened.
Supernatural intervention. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did God do to distract them from stoning these two faithful witnesses?
He immediately comes into scene and is challenging them, saying, "I'm going to, you know, hit you with pestilence." And
it's almost like, of course, mm-hmm. God's presence was there through the Shekinah glory, but it's almost like God creates a diversion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the glory of the Lord. Right. Boom. Yeah. Okay, you need to pay attention to me now.
Right.
But yeah. Do you see a troubling? Puya, I see your hand raised. Is it possible even today we could get so disconnected that our restlessness leads to rebellion, even to open violence?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe so. Even today, I believe if we are not resting in God, if we're not resting in Christ, even after God has set us free from the bondage of, not of Egypt, but the bondage of sin and the slavery of sin, If we are not in that relationship with God, if we're not resting in Christ Jesus, the tendency is that we remember the past, and sometimes it's easy to remember the past in as a better experience more than it actually was, and we are tempted to go back into our old sinful ways, which is why Paul warns the Christians time and again in the New Testament, where he said, stand firm in the freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not go back to the yoke of sin and slavery. And so here it's interesting that they were even suggesting to go back to the slavery of Egypt than to continue to trust in God mm-hmm. because of their restlessness. So the same thing can happen to us today if we're not resting in Christ and his righteousness, that we would be tempted to go back to the slavery of sin all over again.
Mm-hmm. I can see that this has touched a response. I've got several hands that are raised here. Mm-hmm. We could see ourselves in a similar situation. This story is a warning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That rest in Christ is not just a kind of an optional extra.
Mm.
It is essential.
Yes, absolutely.
For our salvation.
Yeah.
Addison, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, just to add on to what Puya was saying, and I thought that was beautifully put, but over and over again throughout the Bible, there's just copious examples. You can go to the book of Psalms time and time again. The psalmist learning firsthand from his own experiences, facing his enemies, fleeing from Saul. Time and time again, he's learning the importance of, I'm going to exchange my fear for faith and rest in Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
That is the theme throughout the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, and that is what we can do today.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Exchange my fear or my restlessness mm-hmm. for rest mm-hmm. in Christ. Can you think of some examples, and then I want to go and end with a positive note of intercession. Can you think of some other examples in the Scripture? I'm not going to read text, just share a story, where restlessness led to rebellion that even mm-hmm. led to violence. And we see how dangerous a restless spirit is. Mm. Sabina?
Pastor Derek, for me, the most shocking one is the crucifixion of Jesus himself.
Religious leaders.
Religious leaders, people who had scriptures in their face, just like the people of the Hebrew people had here in the desert. They had truth for them. God had already spoken to them about that, but they were not able, because of their critical hearts, their restless heart, they were not able to see truth in front of them. And, you know, just like these people here in the book of Numbers, we know they are not going to enter Canaan eventually. Also, the same happens that these prophets at the time of Jesus, who were, you know, just the leaders in the time, these religious people, they ended up not experiencing the blessing that God had to them through the Messiah. So that's really terrible to think of, right?
You know, that really is the most vivid example. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave that one as an example for all of us to mm-hmm. say that religious people could kill the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we do not want to have that restless experience. We want to mm-hmm. rest in Christ. But I want to move on, Harold, if you could read for us in Numbers 14, verses 11 through 19. Again, we see Moses You know, Moses was not perfect, right? He killed an Egyptian, kind of took things into his own hands. Later, he'll make other mistakes. He's not perfect. But here we see the heart of God when he intercedes for his people. Would you read for us Numbers 14, verses 11 through 19?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.' And Moses said to the Lord, 'Then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.'"
Now, I want you to notice the next verse, and then I have a very important question for you. Brittany, if you could just read just a short verse, verse 20 of Numbers 14.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word.'"
So here's the question. Did Moses say some important things when he was pleading with the Lord?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. God, you're long-suffering, you're merciful. Did he change the Lord's mind by pleading or interceding on behalf of his people? Gladys.
He didn't change God's mind because he quoted God's words back to him. So he said, you have to be faithful to your word, what you have said to me.
So I imagine, maybe I'm using my sanctified imagination, but I imagine the Lord smiling as Moses saying, Lord, remember who you are.
Yes.
Because an earthly ruler could have responded by just, you know, that was the human response, right? Just start with you. Yeah. No, Lord, you know how you are.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the character of the Lord, does it? But what a beautiful testimony where Moses is reminding the Lord.
Yeah.
How do you see that intercession, that revelation of the character of God, kind of as a foretaste of the ministry of Jesus? It's almost as if you could look forward, if you could look forward and see how Jesus revealed the character of the Father, we were catching a little glimpse of that. What do you think, Puya, in the action of Moses here?
Yes, we do. We do indeed. Moses interceded on behalf of the people to God. And in the same way, when we read Hebrews, we are told that Jesus is interceding on our behalf, and God is accepting the intercession of Jesus on our behalf. And so before God, our sins are forgiven through Jesus, just as God forgave the sins of the rebellion of the people of Israel through the intercession of Moses. And so Jesus indeed was foreshadowed from the story of Moses here.
Shana, I see your hand raised there in Maine. It's a beautiful picture, even though Moses is far from perfect. He's saying, God, I know your character. I know what you're like. Shana?
Right. And it also foreshadows the type of love that Jesus came and showed us. Moses could have asked God to take his siblings out, but he didn't. He pleaded with God to spare them instead. And Jesus did the same thing when he came here on earth, lived life as a human, as our elder brother, and died and intercedes on our behalf, as Puya mentioned, that Hebrews mentions, that he intercedes now in heaven for us. So it really shows love, or that love that Jesus came and showed as well.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, let me just reinforce one important point, and that is Jesus doesn't change the Father's heart either. Mm. God loves the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. God is not stern and wanting retribution, and somehow Jesus changes his heart. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he is a revelation. He says, if you've seen me, mm-hmm. you've seen the Father. And what a beautiful revelation that is. Yeah. Now, tragically, having rebelled and even become quite violent to be wanting to stone Joshua and Caleb, now the children of Israel say, well, we're going to go take the land, but we'll do it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And what's the outcome? Maybe we should look at that one text together in Numbers chapter 14. And Addison, if you could read that for us, Numbers 14, beginning with verse 39. How does that read in your Bible?
Reading from the King James Version. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah.
So, question for you. Why did Moses say, well, okay, we'll go with you? Why didn't he do that, Brittany?
It was directly against what God had said. Mm-hmm. So he knew God wasn't going to be with them.
Yeah.
So disobedience in order to try to accomplish something good never works.
No.
Right? Their restlessness, even in supposedly doing what God had asked them to do previously, it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. What are the lessons from this story? Let me take a few minutes with us here now. We hear God appealing to us to rest in Christ, to let his presence abide with us, and to guide us by his Spirit, just as he did with the cloud and the fire. Mm-hmm. What's the most important lesson, Sabina, that you get from our study today?
Yeah. Pastor Derek, I think that for me, a great lesson from this story is that, you know, when you have this spirit of criticism and restlessness, it will cloud your vision of everything around you. So it leads to lack of vision, and God has given us a vision about what are the things coming and where should we be standing. And if we have this criticism and lack of vision that is caused by restlessness, then we might not get to the final destination that God intended for us. So we might want to look into the circumstances through the eyes of the scriptures, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, so that we can get to the right destination that God has for us.
So I really want to affirm that. And Addison, I see your hand raised in just a moment. But that restless, rebellious spirit can literally cause us not to think clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We end up doing foolish things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And God loves us too much to want us to do that, right?
Exactly, yeah.
He wants us all to be saved and to rest in him. Addison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God's love is immeasurable and unfailing. Mm-hmm. And we need to pray. We need to say every day when we get up in the morning, and we, you know, the very first thought should be of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we should say, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Mm-hmm. And to pray, Lord, let this mind that was in Jesus be also in me.
Yeah. Beautiful. And Puya, all the way in Hawaii, I see your hand raised. A lesson for us today. What do you hear?
Yes, Saint Augustine once said in a prayer, he said, "God, you have created us for yourself, so our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." And I believe this is the lesson that I take away from our study today, that we are restless as human beings in our search for peace and happiness and fulfillment until we look for it in the right place, that is in Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for sharing. Shana, a thought from up there in Maine. We're so glad to have our remote team members with us. What's an important lesson you take away from our study today?
Unless we have fully submitted all to Christ, our will not be in His will, His will not be ours, and we're going to be restless. So it's important for us all to learn how to fully submit, and that submission leads to ultimate rest in Christ, and that rest is the most beautiful thing that we can ever find.
Mm. Yes. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us. One last thought from a team member. What do you take away, Jason?
Well, it really niggles down to faith. And anyone who knows me, you know, I love acronyms. So faith is forever admitting I trust Him. Mm. And in order to rest in Christ, and that's what it's about, resting. We having faith in Him. And that's the underlying message that I take away.
Yeah. And, you know, the Lord wants each one of us to rest in Christ. Mm-hmm. You say restlessness doesn't sound too bad, but it can lead to rebellion, can lead to violence, can lead to destruction. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants you to find rest in Him today. Mm-hmm. He says, "Come to me and find rest for your souls." Do you long for that rest in your life today? Let's pray together. Mm-hmm. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you're more willing to give us rest than we're willing to ask. You love to give good gifts to your children, and I pray that you would give us rest for our souls today. Rest in your love, rest in your presence, rest in Christ. Thank you for that precious gift in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, friend, don't forget that free gift. Go to hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on that button. Get free gift. You'll get the theme song, "Come to Me." Find rest for your souls. 11 other beautiful scripture songs. We want you to hide those promises in your heart and to find the rest in Christ that will bless your life. And in the midst of all of those blessings, go out in Jesus' name and be a blessing to those around you.